Good morning. If you notice in the bulletin, the title of my message is Change. And I'm just curious, when you hear that word, what emotion comes to mind? Just off the top of your head, what does the word change bring to forefront of your head? Different. Stress. Pardon? Hope for the better. Yeah. It's a mixture, isn't it? There's stress, there's worry, there's all these things that can come into place. And boy, are we in a change mode. Not only are we having church early, which is a change, and for some of us, Joe Macy was sitting back there very nervously before church going, I'm Sunday school nursery and I'm up here. I feel wrong. It's not the right place for me to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's different. And, you know, when change happens, it is always different. We've got a new pastor coming. We have a pastor that we've loved for 4 years leaving. That's all change. And when I told John about my title, he asked me, are you going to steal Ron Bryan's joke from Spring Body about change? And his joke was, how many Quakers does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is, change? No! Well, it turns out, and I'm having trouble with my mic, as you can tell. It keeps wanting to slip. Turns out that's just one variant of this joke. And there are several versions, and one of them says, how many Congregationalists does it take a change? Well, first, we need to find a committee to decide whether or not to change a light bulb. Then we need a committee to process the changing of the light bulb. And then we finally need a committee to select the number of people to carry out that process. The Presbyterians, changing a light bulb? Wait, that's my mother's light bulb. The Baptist, change a light bulb with all this water? Are you crazy? The Lutherans, we believe that the light bulb will be changed by faith, but not by works. The Episcopals, exactly three. One to change the light one, one to hold the chair, one to mix the drinks. The Unitarian Universalist, you can change a light bulb or not change it, or you can do an interpretive dance about light. The Catholics, whoa, we're still using candles around here, folks. And finally, this version says the Quakers go, there are no Quakers involved in changing a light bulb because we wait for the inner light. It's humorous, but it's true. We all deal with change a little differently. And unfortunately, the way we deal with change oftentimes brings about a lot of anxiety. My scripture lesson this morning is from Joshua 1:1-9. And essentially, this is a time where Moses has just died. Joshua is taking over, and they're looking at this very flooded river and a very angry group of people on the other side of this river that God has said, go across and conquer. That's a lot of change. And you know what? I reckon some of them were stressed out, nervous, some of them hoping it was going to be better, some of them fearing it could be worse. But let me read the scripture. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and your people, and into the land I'm going to give you, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I give to you. Just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all this land of the Hittites, the great sea, toward the dawn, the sun will grow your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you. And the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, I also will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong, be courageous, for I shall, for you shall be careful to do all according to the law of Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn away from the right hand or the left. You may have good success at whatever you do. The book of the law that you may be, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it night and day, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will be good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, 2 to 3 million, maybe 4 million people standing by a river. Like I said, it's flooded. Moses, who has led them for the last 40 years, died at age 120, and now this new guy is going to take over. Is he capable? Is he able to do what he needs to do? Is he going to know the right, the wrong? It's a change. And Joshua has spent the last 40 years being Moses' assistant. He knows these people all too well. He knows how well they grumble. He knows how well they don't listen. He knows how well they do go down the wrong path. Joshua has to be just a little bit nervous at this point. And I think for us at this transition point, where we're looking at a new pastor coming in, and none of us know him very well. The search committee has interviewed and talked to him, and we had a chance to meet him last week and get a little bit of a feel for him. And I got to admit, I like the guy. I think he's going to be fun, but we don't know him yet. It's going to be different. His style is going to be different than Manny's. And for some of us, that's going to be a little disruptive, a little uncomfortable. And I wonder, when it comes to change, the way you deal with any change is probably the way you deal with all change. If you think about it, in your life, all the changes you've had in your life, how have you dealt with them? Has it been with anxiety and worry, as Margaret's children's message said? I know I do. I love to worry. I worry about all these things that are going to happen, how they might work out, how they might not work out, and what should I do, and how shouldn't I do, and where do I go? What do I do? And it's really not very productive, is it? And I can spend most of my life in change, and believe me or not, change is inevitable. It's coming. You're going to have change in your life, whether you like it or not. And that change is going to have an effect on you, one way or the other, depending on how you decide to deal with it. You know, Dairy Queen offered chocolate ice cream for the first time here a couple years ago. That's a change I found very easy to accept. I like chocolate ice cream. And you know what? That change was not a problem for me. I could just jump right into that. My diabetic nurse, however, who said that ice cream should be limited and very uncommon in my diet, maybe a little here or there, but not very much, was a change that I wasn't as willing to accept. It was a little harder to adapt. And so, for me, it amounted to, what is my attitude about this? What do I feel about this change? And how am I going to look at it and deal with it? Because, you know, some changes are good. Some things are neat. Some changes are bad. They got bad. It's just, they're not good. You just don't, there's no other way to describe it. You will face all types of changes in your life. But your attitude will determine how you face those changes. When we look at the fact that each of us have grown another day older, some of us accept that just a little better than others. Some of us don't. Some of us have a little bit of trouble accepting that I'm a little older than I was yesterday. Others seem to embrace it. They go old and they go, this is great. This is my best time of my life. Right now is my favorite time. How could two people be so different facing the same change? It all depends on your point of view of that. Is that day older? One day closer to death? One day more limited in what my body can do that it could do yesterday but it can't do today? Or do I see opportunity to do things that I couldn't do yesterday but I can today because of my age? You know, it's kind of funny. One of the things I've seen from people growing older is, one of the comments I hear a lot is, I love being old because, you know, now I don't care what people think about me. I can just be me. And, you know, I'm starting to resemble that a little bit. I like that. I'm not so worried about what people thought like I did 30, 40 years ago. Now, suddenly, I have a little more freedom. I am what I am. You're going to accept that or you're not. The truth of the matter is, that's the way it is. And that change is kind of pleasant. The fact, like John Lane and I were saying earlier, that I can't pick up what I used to pick up 30 years ago, it's a change I kind of regret. I wish I still had that strength. But God knows my body wouldn't take it. So it's probably better that I can't. Otherwise, I would hurt myself, and then I'd be in more trouble. When it looks down to the changes that we have, we look at a lot of things that are going to happen in our pastoral change. Some of you were very, very close to Manny. Some of you weren't. For those who are close, you're going to have trouble. This is a man that you've respected. Your family has loved their family, and there have been people, they've influenced your life. They've touched you in a way that no one else could. And that's a neat thing. That's a beautiful thing. If you haven't gotten to know Manny very well, and I will tell you a story about someone who I knew, a friend of mine, who many, many years ago, during a pastoral change, told me confidentially, or basically just between the two of us, that, you know, this is hard. Losing someone that I love that much is difficult. And you know what? I don't think I'm going to love the next pastor as much as I did this one. I'm not going to get as close to that pastor as I did this one because it hurts too much when they leave. I thought about that for a while. Very true. It's very true. I mean, the pain of parting, we're going to have a going away party. And I suspect tomorrow, this afternoon, there'll be some tears. There'll be sadness as we say goodbye, even though it's still going to be a couple weeks. There is going to be sadness in our parting. Our fellowship is going to be distanced. They're still Christians. They're still going to heaven with us. But they're going to be out in Wichita, Kansas, and we're going to be here in central Iowa. And that's going to change things. And yes, that is sad. But as I thought about this and this friend and that comment, I wondered the blessings that that person missed out on because they weren't willing to get close to the next pastor. They didn't get to know that personality. They didn't learn to love them. They didn't learn to get to have that relationship. And that relationship's two-way, you know. The pastor doesn't just stand up here and teach you. You're here to teach that pastor. You're here to help him or her grow in their faith. You know, I firmly believe that a church is called to a pastor and a pastor is called to a church. We have a mission with our new pastor. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm sure as we get to know the bishops, we will see areas that we can help them. We can minister to them. We can grow in and we can develop a relationship and a love that they need in their future pastorate here. So if we fail to do that, not only do we miss out something, but they miss out on something. Because each and every one of you is special in this body. This body was designed by God to do something. We are not here just to have church. We're not here just to be singing praises. We're here to minister to each other, to our pastor's family. And unless we're willing to embrace that, unless we're willing to come together and say, yeah, it hurts when they leave, but you know what? We have that relationship. We have that love. And guess what? This one can be just as beautiful. This new relationship is going to be interesting. Their interest, yeah, there's going to be some difference. There's going to be somebody out there worrying that the casserole that they make for the potlucks is going to be the one thing that those kids are allergic to, and then guess what? I got to change my whole casserole plan. You know, there's anxiety with that change. There's difference. And difference always means a little stress, a little problem with dealing with it. But guess what? God has designed us. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known by God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Those are wonderful verses. Change will bring about anxiety. Change will bring about worry. Change will bring about sadness as we part company. It's part of the change. But depending on your attitude about that change, it will determine how badly that change affects you, how much it destroys you, or how much it makes you grow. If I choose to embrace it with all of its elements, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, yeah, those will be present. But there's also blessing. There's also growth. There's also an ability to get to know somebody better than I have ever before. That's the possibility that change offers, that, you know what? You can't get anywhere else. When Joshua went over the Jordan River, he had God's assurance that things would go well. No problem. God says it's going to be good. Does he believe it? Well, he went across the river. You know, these are the same people that 40 years before stood by this river and go, "Oh, I don't know, Moses, it doesn't look like a good idea to me. Those folks are big, and they're big walled cities. I don't think this is such a great idea, Moses. Let's think about this for a while." Well, now their children are sitting by the same river, ready to make the same choice that their parents had the opportunity to make. And maybe a little 40-year trip into the wilderness, worrying and wanting and wondering, when will this ever end, helped the next time that change came about, so that when they were on that riverside the next time, they go, do we want to go out and die in the desert like our parents? Not really. Don't know what's across that river, but it definitely sounds better than dying in the desert. So let's go across that river. Part of change is acceptance. Part of it is just the reality that, yes, it is happening. Some of you may not like it. Some of you may be very ecstatic it's happening. But regardless of where you're at, it is changing. Whether you like it or not, it's changing. And guess what? How you deal with it will depend on how you deal with it. In other words, you will make that decision on how this change affects you. You can look at it as a positive thing. You can look at it as a negative. And truthfully, I've been with a ministry and council. This is the first time, believe it or not, in the last, six or seven pastors that I haven't been part of the pastoral search team. I look happy? Do I look happy? Yes. It's the first time. But every one of those pastors came in with unique gifts, with unique talents, and with unique challenges. None of them came in perfect. None of them came in the ideal pastor for Bangor Liberty. We all had things that, I sure wish that wasn't that way, or I sure wish it was this way, or that's the nature of human nature. We tend to look and see the things that have changed, and we go, doesn't preach like so-and-so used to preach, does he? Wish that changed. Seems like he's a little too windy, or he's a little too brief. Leaves out a lot, doesn't he? The next pastor will be different. He's not Manny. He shouldn't be Manny. We shouldn't want him to be Manny. I don't want someone to pretend to be someone they're not. On the same token, I don't want us to pretend to be something we're not. You have anxious moments about the next pastor, the next church secretary? Yeah, you should have. It's still a lot of change. There's going to be a lot of differences. Things will change around here. And some of it, I'm not so sure you will always all approve of. Some of it, you're going to be enthusiastic about. Your attitude about it and saying, that's the way life is. Change is change. It's going to happen anyway. Because like I said, change is inevitable. It will not stop happening because I desire it not to happen. You are older and in more need of a haircut than you were when this message started. It happened. Without your thinking about it, without your desiring it, without anything at all, it just happened. And guess what? It's going to continue to happen. I'm going to give you a little good news. As I was researching this, I found that scientists have found that new thought causes the brains to grow new neurons and develop new wiring connections between the brain. Change actually makes you smarter. Did you know that? You get into change and it will require your brain to work a little harder and you will become a little smarter because you're in something different. But it throws my whole body out of works. Joe still isn't used to being sitting up here at 9:30. It's going to take her 2 or 3 weeks to get used to that. That's the way it works. It is going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward when we mispronounce names or they mispronounce names. That's part of change.
You know what? God promised the people of Israel that he would watch over them and take care of them through the change of crossing over that river. And he kept his promise. If you look at the Israelites and what they did quite well originally. But do you know, if you look at what God promised Joshua, if you look on a map, Israel never, ever occupied the entire land given to them. Do you know why? They began to fall backwards. They began to find change a little too awkward. They wanted a little bit of sense of normalcy. And so they kind of started picking up bad habits. Israel never got their complete promise because Israel forgot what God told them through Joshua. Trust me, follow my commands, and let me worry about the change. You just hang on, see if you can keep up. That's where we're at, folks. Change is happening. We're going to have a new pastor, new family to get to know, new kids that are going to have different unique personalities that we're not used to, and they're not going to be used to some of our personalities, and they're going to have to get to know, I have this weird sense of humor that you all understand. They are not going to. I'm going to have to be explained to them, and that's okay. I'm used to that. We're all going to change, folks. It depends on our attitudes, on how much we change, how hard it is for us to change, and then whether we stay in God's will when we change. And that's where I want to leave you with, folks. Follow God. Let him handle the change.